Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. First Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Before we turn to our passage of Scripture, I've been handed a request for prayer for Greg Taylor, McKenzie Cowboy Church and Hospital.
Well, yeah. He's the pastor of McKenzie Trail Cowboy Church. He's the pastor where we were near Abilene.
Okay. This man's name is Greg Taylor, and he's the pastor of the McKenzie Cowboy Church. He's in the hospital, and if you will remember him, please, that'll be fine. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Mark chapter 7, verse 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 23. Our purpose for being here tonight, as always, is to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are privileged individuals because we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have logistical blessings. We are the recipients of God's grace in so many magnificent ways. And we express our appreciation to God tonight for all of His blessings upon us. We spend a few moments now in prayer before we begin our reading. We'll begin our reading in a few moments with Mark chapter 7, and we'll begin the reading with verse 17. Mark chapter 7, verse 17. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we are your children, saved by your grace, and we are privileged to be here this evening once again to focus our minds upon your word. We've just received this special request, and we do pray this evening for this dear man, Greg Taylor. We ask that you'll be with him in a very special way. We do not know the circumstances, but we realize that you do. And we pray that your hand of love and blessings will be upon him. Bless the doctors and nurses who minister to him. But most of all, we're thankful that you're the great physician, and we pray that your loving hand will be upon him in a unique and special way at this time. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see Mark chapter 7, verse 23. I need to tell you that the last service we looked at Mark chapter 7, verse 21. And so we have a lot of things in between chapter 7, 21 and chapter 7, verse 23. What you have is verse 22. Isn't that brilliant? And in that passage of Scripture, there are a lot of things listed there, and so we'll be able to look at that in just a few moments. But let's begin with our reading with Mark 7:17. And when leaving the multitude, he had entered the house. His disciples questioned him about the parable. He said unto them, Are you too so uncomprehending? Do you not see that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Mark 7:20. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. Far from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And then that takes us to our verse tonight, which is Mark 7:23. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. By way of introduction, let me just point out the fact that we have been giving attention to the subject of evil. We realize that evil is a system of comprehension, just as God's system, the grace system, is a system of comprehension. We've studied in the past days that evil can be defined in the following way. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. It can be described as good, but human good, and it is evil. Grace, on the other hand, is the name of God's plan, which only goes where it is desired. We've introduced evil in the past, and we've said that sin and evil were both originated by Satan. We've emphasized that sin was judged and paid for on the cross, while evil was not judged and paid for on the cross. We've emphasized the fact that the only way a believer can tell the difference between the two, sin and evil, is to understand what God's Word has to say on those subjects. We've also analyzed the fact that sin comes from the source of the old sinful nature, which includes mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, overt sins. Evil comes from the cardia, the thinking part of the soul. Grace is God's genius on the one hand, revealed by means of the truth of the Bible, and we're commanded to be aware and beware of those who are practicing evil. And we are to be aware that God wants us to practice that which is right. What's amazing to me is that we have to understand something about sin as well as evil, realizing that Satan is very, very tricky. And I have 7 points to give you at this time. Just because Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire, it does not mean that we can diminish the power that he has today. If I were you, I would put down this point. Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire, but that does not mean that he has diminished power. The second thing is, just because God is more powerful than Satan does not mean that you're protected always from Satan's power unless you're under the control and the power of the divine. Satan's policy or plan of evil can be compared to a layer of ozone filtering the air we breathe and polluting, smothering, suffocating our physical bodies. The spiritual pollution of our thinking is certain unless we're protected by the truth of God's Word. So that means then that number four, one of the trickiest of Satan's propaganda or false news oftentimes is, God is love, and so let's love everyone. He has more followers in human good than any other in outright sin. He is into everything. We must realize that. We discover that Satan is so involved in the invention of all kinds of ideas and concepts. And oftentimes what is revealed, and some people think is progress, is not anything more than pseudo-progress. In other words, any system which undermines God's perfect setup of divine is, of course, evil. And it is obvious to all of us here tonight that Satan worship is wrong. But what is not obvious oftentimes is that believers are involved in evil. Now, I've given you several points there, and I didn't intend to spend a lot of time. I just wanted to tell you that when you go to the 7th chapter of the book of Mark, you will discover that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, are gathered together around the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are being picky. This is the way they always are. Scribes and Pharisees are always picky. And what we have is that they are emphasizing the fact that they're individuals. These disciples are getting ready to get on a boat, and they're participating in some food, and they haven't washed their hands. And so these scribes and these Pharisees are very, very snooty. And they're simply saying, in essence, these guys really don't understand. They are not observing the teachings of the law. They're not observing these things. And so, therefore, they're sinning against God. And that has taken me into a research in relationship to the emphasis in the Scripture in the Old Testament on ceremonial cleansing. And what is it that defiled individuals in the Old Testament? I'm not going to go through this in length. I just want to present some scriptures to you. For instance, there are many things in the Old Testament that were described as ceremonially unclean. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "If you touch an unclean person, whatever uncleanness is in that individual, if you touch that person, you're going to be guilty of that uncleanness." In Leviticus 13:59, there's an emphasis upon garments. If a plague of leprosy, for instance, is in the garment of the woolen or linen clothes, and an individual has these clothes wrapped around them, and you touch clothes, then you're ceremonially unclean. In Leviticus 15:9-10, there's an emphasis upon furniture being ceremonially unclean. In Leviticus 14:44, the houses could be classified as unclean. In Leviticus 18:25, land has been described as ceremonially unclean. The sanctuary in Leviticus 20, verse 3. I don't want to go through all of this. I just want you to see that there was an emphasis. And so many of these scribes and these Pharisees were saying, I want you to understand that these individuals are eating food and they haven't washed their hands, so they're unclean, eating unclean things, like Leviticus 11, verse 8. Eating things that died, for instance, Leviticus 17:15. I notice that most of you eat things that have died. Touching a dead person's body in Numbers 9:6 and Numbers 19:11. Touching a grave was an emphasis upon being unclean. Touching a dead beast. Being alone with a dead body. Oh, on and on and on. And I have page after page of information. But I want you to see that there's an emphasis here upon that which is unclean. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to explain, and I think it's so unique. If you'll remember, at the last session, we looked at Mark 7:21, which says, "Far from within, out of the heart of men, thoughts of evil come forth." What is amazing to me is that in the study of sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand, and understanding that there's a difference between sin and evil, what is unique about the passage of Scripture the passages of Scripture we're using now, is that in Mark 7:21, we have an emphasis upon evil. In Mark 7:23, we have an emphasis upon evil. And then pressed in between these two verses of Scripture, we have an emphasis upon sin. I don't know whether you've even noticed this as you looked at it last Sunday, but we're not going to spend a lot of time here other than I want you to see what we have in Mark 7:21 in Mark 7:23 and see what's pressed in between. The German translation of Mark 7:23 is, all of these things come from within, out here, and contaminate mankind. And when you look at that passage of Scripture from the German, there's an emphasis there upon pollution, that which is foul, that which is dirty, that which violates infraction, invalid, destroy, degrade, debase, damage, tarnish, all of those things. And you remember that we emphasized last Sunday that which taints the soul is tainted. Now let's look at this. Stay with me, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, but I want you to see that the sins are pressed in between an emphasis upon evil. Look at it now. From within, out of the heart of men, thoughts of evil come forth. And then there's an emphasis upon the things related to sin. And I have the transparency here, so let me put them on the screen for you. And let's see what we can do. I thought I would fix this up for you so you could see it. Thoughts of evil. And then there's pressed in here fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness. And I have some more. They're there. Deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, arrogance, foolishness. Now, I would enjoy just taking each one of these Greek words and talking about it, but that's not my goal tonight. But I do want you to see what is pressed in between Mark 7:21 in verse 22, between 21 and 23. Now, if you're taking this down, all you have to do is look at your passage of Scripture, and you'll see that there's an emphasis upon the sin of fornication related to primarily single individuals, stealing, murder, which is not killing, but murder, adulteries, primarily related to married individuals, being greedy, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye. I thought this was unique because it's ophthalmos, from which we get the English word ophthalmology, and then the word that's evil. Blasphemia, which is the Greek word blasphemia, which means hurtful. And then arrogance, which means to be stuck up. And then foolishness, which emphasizes a person with no ability to comprehend. So there we have 7:21. Far from within, out of the heart of men, thoughts of evil come forth. Then we go to our verse of Scripture, which is Mark 7:23. All these evil things, and by the way, the word things is understood, but it's all these evil from within come forth and defile a man. And the emphasis tonight is on defilement from within, from Mark chapter 7, verse 23. Now, let me stop long enough to tell you that God wants the believer to become an advanced, mature believer. And there are some characteristics of maturity that I'm going to give you now. And I'm going to give these to you slowly and you can take them down. For instance, a person who is mature has the ability to retain and maintain divine viewpoint. So I'm going to go slowly enough and let you take these points down. We understand that the Lord is saying to these scribes and Pharisees and to His followers, you need to take a look at some things because many of the individuals, the Scripture says, are uncomprehending. Uncomprehending means that they do not have the ability to see through some things. They do not understand the difference between sin and evil. They do not understand that people can not wash their hands and take food into their stomach. But there's a difference between what goes into the soul. So there's an emphasis here upon a person understanding that a person can have a tainted, corrupt soul which is that which keeps a person from being what they ought to be as an advanced, mature believer. So maturity means that a person has the ability to retain and maintain divine viewpoint. Secondly, this person has the ability to eliminate satanic viewpoint. Now, if you are catching what we're trying to emphasize, and that is the only way that a person can get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. And we have to have God's thinking in order to get rid of satanic thinking. So there is horizontal, human viewpoint. There is divine, vertical viewpoint. As long as a person is saturated with horizontal, human viewpoint, they're not going to be saturated with vertical, divine viewpoint. So they have to retain and maintain divine viewpoint. That gives them the ability to eliminate satanic viewpoint. Does that make sense? I want you to see how important these points are. When all of this takes place, number three, a person will then be able to live in peace with what he cannot change. There are many things in life that you and I just do not have the ability to change. It's just happening. It's going to happen. Some of you have faced all kinds of difficulties and problems and burdens and illness, and you say, oh, I'd like to change this. I'd like to just flip my finger and snap my finger and change it. But live in peace with what we cannot change. Understanding that Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what we have to understand is that there's a lot in that verse that you don't see if you just rapidly say it like I just said. We know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good, but it doesn't say that all things are good. It says all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Now, the desire that I have is to preach on that verse right now, but that's not what I'm primarily called to do tonight. How about that? Number four, one thing that happens as a result of maturity is dependability. A person who advances in God's grace and grows as they should will be dependable. In other words, if they make a promise, they're going to keep the promise, or they're going to do whatever they can to keep the promise. Or if they can't keep the promise, they'll call you and let you know they're not going to be able to do what they said they were going to do. In other words, they keep their word. That's a sign of maturity, dependability, keeping promises. Number five, follow through on clear-cut decisions. That's a sign of maturity. Follow through on clear-cut decisions. We could spend a lot of time there, but you and I have a responsibility to start out and continue. And when we're making decisions, follow through on those decisions. Number six, humility. One of the things that humility does for us is willing to admit that we have failed. We must surely do this to the Lord and just admit that we've just not done what's right. Humility is a willingness to admit failure. Number seven, face unpleasantness, frustration, discomfort, defeat without complaint or collapse. Now that's a long sentence, and so let's talk about it a little bit. You and I face in life oftentimes unpleasant experiences. There's a great temptation for frustration. There will be times when we are not comforted. We are discomforted. There will be times when we're defeated. But we're to face these things without whining, without complaining, without punching panic buttons, and without collapsing. One of the things about Christian maturity and advancing is that we're going to be able to face the problems and difficulties of life and move along, trusting the Lord to take care of things and putting things together as He certainly wants to do. Number 9, we're to consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. Consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. Driving today slowly in the parking area, a fellow was looking the other way and I drove up close behind him. I wanted to frighten him just a little bit to let him know that I was there. And when he looked around and saw me, he jumped. And I put the window down and I said, "I want to tell you something. One of these days you're going to die." Well, he said, "Yes, sir, I know that." And I said, "I want to ask you if you're ready to die." He said, "Well, I hope so." I said, "No, let's not talk about hoping." And I explained to him that you can know without doubt. So, he was thinking in terms of his work, I'm sure. And I'm sure he had a lot of things to get done. But oftentimes you and I think about short-term things. We should consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. Number 10, control. An interesting word. Settle differences without violence or destruction. These are just some ideas that I feel like would be good for all of us because we realize the importance of living our lives in accordance with God's wonderful plan. Now we're getting ourselves ready to take a look at this verse. Mark 7:23. I need to tell you that this is a very powerful verse of Scripture. When I looked at this, I saw some unique things. I saw, for instance, the word within, an adverb. And I noticed that it means inside. It means inner part. It means the thinking part of mankind. It means the mind. And I put it down as the mentality of the soul. And then I realized that this says all these evil things come from within. It's not what goes in as far as food is concerned. It's what is coming out of our thinking, out of the mentality of the soul. So I took some time to look at the word come forth. And I want you to look at it, if you will, please. This particular word is a present, middle, indicative, third-person singular verb of ek poruomai. When I look at omai, O-M-A-I, at the end, I know it's a deponent verb. I see some things about this verb. Before I talk about the various details, let me just mention the fact that its emphasis is upon something that's continually happening. That's the reason why it's a present tense. And then I see something else here. I see that it is a middle voice. I wish I could come and sit by you and ask you if you could tell me what the middle voice means. I would imagine that most of you could. The middle voice says a subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. You remember that? That's when the subject matter is in a positive way. If the subject matter is in a negative way, it says the subject participates in the action and is not benefited thereby. This is saying that if a person's mind is tainted and corrupted by satanic thinking, from that mind, from the mentality of that soul, there is going to come the results of the tainted soul. So I look at this and I see that it simply emphasizes that which is coming out is not good. That which is coming out is polluted. It's debased. It is tainted. It is soiled. I'm looking at synonyms now. It is that which is contaminated. Corruption. Decay. impurity, foolish, rotten, infection, epidemic. Boy, have I given you a lot of synonyms. I want to go back and look at some of these. The word that which is coming out is dirty. And the word defiled is used. To be dirty, unclean, impure, corrupt. Let's go to the antonyms. Let's go to the opposite. Cure, cleaning, healing, purification, sterilization. Do you see the difference in the two? One says, here's a person whose soul is tainted, and that which is coming out is defiled. It's corrupt. It's debased. It's polluted. It's tainted. It's soiled. It's contaminated. I'm recapitulating these synonyms. Corruption, decay, impurity, foolishness. And again, I need to tell you what the German says. All of these things coming from within, out here, contaminate mankind. And then I see that that word means invalid, destroy, degrade, debase, damage, tarnish, ruin. Am I giving you enough words to describe this? When I went to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it emphasizes the defilement of the world. And it says, there's only one way to escape defilement of the world. And that is knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 2:20. Then it says, it's sad if you know the way and then you become entangled again in that which defiles. Let me quickly tell you, and I won't put this on the screen for you, but I believe that you know it. There are three Greek words for evil. You remember those words? Kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Panoros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Remember it? And do you remember that last one? Phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Please write that one down. P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Bad deeds, worthless deeds. It refers to that which is worthless as God sees it. Divine good is described in the Bible as gold, silver, and precious stones, which is agathos, which is the production by a believer who's walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, controlled by the Holy Spirit, person who's occupied with the Savior, living in the Word. The power for his production comes directly from God and not from himself. In other words, the only way that you and I can eliminate defilement is to have agathos, God's good, promenading inside. All believers will either be phalos or agathos. And that's what we talked about when we emphasize the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let's take a look again. All these things, all these evil concepts and ideas, where does it come from? It comes from within. And that which comes from within is that which defiles a man. Now let's stop again. This time, let me give you the Greek of defile. K-O-I-N-O-I. It's an interesting word. Most of you are aware of the fact that the New Testament is written in Koine Greek, which is known as the common language. And that's the word that's used here. It's interesting in emphasizing ordinary. This is not emphasizing the fact that the Bible is not what it should be. It emphasizes the fact that a person who chooses not to allow truth, God's Word, captivate, saturate the soul, then on the other hand, from that individual will come the tainting soul's production. I want to put this on the screen. A lot of people are negative to God. You might want to write these points down. They're negative to God. Many people are negative to God in that they are in a position where they refuse to hear God's Word. We need to spend an hour or two on these points, but let me just give them to you. Negative to God in that they refuse to hear God's Word. The second thing that I present to you is that sometimes people are negative to God in that they are not willing to be restored to fellowship. So there's a refusal to be back in harmony, back in right relationship with the Lord. The third area where people neglect and are negative God's Word is they refuse to accept the presentation and dissemination of the Word of God. And number four, oftentimes people are negative because they are refusing to be consistent in studying God's Word. That's not true of you, of course, because of your consistency in hearing over and over again God's wonderful truths. Some people refuse to be consistent. Number five, some people are negative to God because they are not objective. They are subjective when God's Word is presented. Some people will say, I've heard that before, I don't want to hear it again. Some people say, that doesn't meet my needs, so I don't think that preacher is preaching down my line at all. In other words, a refusal to be objective. Whatever the subject is, whatever the verse is, whatever the book is, whatever the chapter is, it's God's Word, and we should be objective in receiving it. And then this number six is interesting. Oftentimes people are more concerned about their emotions than they are about their thinking and their knowledge. In other words, they are more concerned about having their emotions stirred than having the mentality of their hearts filled with truth. So these are points I believe are helpful to us. We go back to this verse and then we'll close. All these evil from within, and it comes forth and it defiles mankind. The middle voice here says that we're not benefited at all if we find ourselves polluted, debased, tainted, soiled, contaminated with satanic thinking. And as we said at the beginning, we have a system of thinking which is divine. It's God's system. We can choose on a daily basis which way we're going to go. We can choose to think God's thoughts. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the challenge of your Word. And we realize how powerful this is as we think in terms of the decisions that we have to make on a day-by-day basis, not only day-by-day, but moment-by-moment. Help us to know that if we're taking in the mind of Jesus Christ consistently and faithfully, we'll be able to utilize that thinking as we face the various aspects of life, the temptations, the trials, the tests, whatever comes our way, we'll be able to see it from a vertical viewpoint rather than from a human horizontal viewpoint. tonight help us to realize how powerful these verses are. And help us to be able to comprehend the difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. We realize that there's much in the Word of God about sin, but so often we fail to realize that there are some very powerful statements in relationship to the subject of evil. And may we know that evil is satanic thinking. And the only way we're going to get rid of that satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. And that's the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.